Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta change this world, just you and me. We welcome you to MPH Radio and the voice of MPH Radio. We welcome you on the 29th day of May 2021 as we address the theme today. What's going on in today's world? That's right. We would like for you to tune in today and share with us what's going on in today's world as we speak to the people from the bottom up. That's going to be our focus point for today's program. So we're going to invite you to sit back, relax, but try to get and understand the various perspectives that may be coming through this program today in terms of what's going on in today's world. Like always, MPH Radio speaks to not only the powerless, but also speaks truth and power to the powerful. So on that note right now, what we're going to do, like always, our order for this program today will entail, number one, we're going to give you something to think about, and we talk about the concept of freedom, followed by some MPH Black Musics, and then we're going to have some discussions from various people from around the world, sharing with us their perspective on what's going on in today's world, and we must not forget our message to the community with Brother Alex Joyner as he speaks to you and deliver a message to our community. So that's the order of the day for our program. So right now, get your pen and pencils out. And we're going to give you two quick concepts to give you something to think about as it relates to the concept of freedom. And that is, one person wants to define freedom as having the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. How does that concept fit into your reality of how you view freedom? That is, freedom is having the ability and the means to control those necessities for life. Think about that. The second one is there's no freedom without power. Or another way of putting it, without power, you cannot have freedom. Think about that concept. Without power, you cannot have freedom. So we have just given you two concepts to think about as it relates to freedom and how it may apply to your daily life. Think about it, and maybe later on during the program, we'd like to hear your thoughts on it, how you conceive the concept of freedom. You know that many people have fought over this concept and continue to fight over this concept. So if we're going to fight for something, it'd be wise for us to get a better understanding of that of which we are fighting for. So right now, we're going to take a quick mess with a music, and when we come back, we got Susie, and she's going to share with us some MPH Black Minute Facts. This is MPH Radio. That's right. You're listening to MPH Radio. Not only are we going to teach the children a new way, but we definitely going to teach them to have dignity. Don't let no one take your dignity from you. And one of the best ways we can do that is to provide with us, or to us and for us, our history to our people, particularly to you. So right now we're going to attempt to do a little bit of that by bringing in Susie, who is a member and a contributor to MPH Radio, and she's going to provide to you some MPH Black Mini Facts. This is history that we must learn and live on a daily basis. So Susie, welcome to MPH Radio, and what are some of the MPH Black Mini Facts that you have for our community today? The mic is now yours, Susie. You have the mic.
Good evening. These are many facts that's coming from the PRSP calendar of 2021, and today we'll be doing May the 23rd through May the 29th. Okay, the first one is King Kabaka overthrown in Uganda in 1966. Then on the 24th, racial segregation in Washington, D.C. restaurants was ruled illegal in 1951. On May the 25th, there was the formation of the Organization of African Unity, which is the OAU, and that's African Liberation Day in 1963. And for the 26th of May, African slaves led by Denmark Vesey revolted against U.S. slavery in 1822. On the 27th, Ernest Green was one of the first African students to graduate from Little Rock Central High School, which was in the year of 1958. On the 28th of May, the U.S. Congress expelled Native American Indians from all land east of the Mississippi, and this happened in 1830. And last, and for the final day of the month, May the 29th, Maurice Bishop, leader of Grenadian Revolution, was born in 1944. And there you have the many facts from the PRSP calendar of 2021.
Thank you, Susie. And I just like to add a little sidebar to your Black many facts. You know, also around this time on May 27, 1921, there was a race riot in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in bombing, and all this week, I think they're being leading up to tomorrow, I believe, in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. They're going to be having a big celebration in terms of discussing the impact of that particular riot and that bombing. But, you know, that happened back in 21, and it seems like ever since we've been here, they've been bombing us all kind of ways. If not physical bombing, they mentally bombed us with all kind of backwards ideas and what have you. But anyway, those are some of your MPH mini facts for today. And right now, what we're going to do, we'll continue to find ways to try to teach our children by bringing in Brother Alex Joyner. He has a message for the community. Right now, we're going to bring in Brother Alex. Brother Alex, welcome to MPH Radio. What is your message today for our communities? Brother Alex.
Hello. And how are you doing today, Mr. Lee? And thank you, Susie, for such a wonderful presentation again of the facts and history that we sometimes overlook. And even thank goodness that they decided to do a show on the Tulsa episode, because this was a terrible thing in history. And sometimes in history, what we have to do, and we're called to do, just like Dr. King was called on a terrible night, storm raging, rain, tornadoes forecasted, but he went to help the poor, the unprivileged, some job men that has found no other way. Garbage men in Memphis found no other way to communicate, to get their rights across. And that was the last speech that Dr. King gave. But sometimes we're called to do this. I had a destiny a short while ago. I had to go to Elizabeth City. There was another young man. And I had to be there, just like I had to drive to Fayetteville for George Floyd, because my conscience would not rest. And like Martin, one of his things I found out to be later in talking to some of his friends, Martin was his brother's keeper. And sometimes we go about our busy lives and we don't think about our neighbors. We don't think about our brothers and sisters. We don't think about the ones in need, the ones in hospital, the sick and the shut in. What we're supposed to be doing as brotherly missionaries, we don't get an opportunity to do it. So today, I want to give a little honor to our brothers keepers. And one of those Brother Keepers Alliance organization was founded by President Obama in 2015 and 2016, and it goes on today. There's a chapter in Richmond. There's a chapter in Charlotte, Raleigh, North Carolina, many chapters in Durham, North Carolina, many chapters all over. They may have a different name, but they're part of the Brothers Keepers Alliance. And I also would like to give a shout out to Lakeside Alliance because they're working with them. And as far as the Presidential Library for Obama. And also part is Be Dedicated to Ms. Freon, who did the African American Museum in D.C. And thank God for the architects and engineers that built the Capitol when Lincoln called. So I will begin now. Am I my brother's keeper? A person whose job is to guard and take care of someone. Someone is worth keeping. Someone that is good, valuable, as all life is honorable. Many know the phrase from the Bible, but how many abide by it? Genesis 4:9, King James Version. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And Cain said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. 15:11, New King James Version. For there would never cease to be the poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and the poor in your land. Matthew 25, King James Version. Jesus himself said that whatever we do to the needy, the helpless, the oppressed, and the marginalized, we do to him. We are our sibling and mankind's keeper. Our own well-being is bound forever to the well-being of everyone. That's what it means to love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. It hasn't been a year since I attended George Floyd Funeral in North Carolina. My heart nor my mind has healed from the grief I had for a man I did not know. I heard that someone called him brother every day of his life, yet he was treated in the most inhumane way. Were the officers not his brother, keeper? Though the guilty verdict was justified in one of the officers entrusted to his care, I still feel an emptiness in my soul. His giving heart, along with his laughter and smile, is from his family forever. The bystanders who witnessed his murder are the real heroes, as they stood there until the end of his torment. They became their brother's keeper without even knowing it, as they were recording the wrongful actions of his death by the police. Before I could celebrate, relax, and breathe that America was changing, there was another shooting in my state of a black man by police officers. The facts are being intentionally hidden from the family and the public. We need to know the truth. Let us not forget the murder of Emmett Till, the young 14-year-old child who was killed for supposedly whistling at a white woman. It is an incident that filled my eyes with tears and weighed heavily on my conscience as I was told how afraid black men were not even to look at a white woman in America just 50 years ago. The police were meaner and bolder in the treatment of black men and boys. It was as though black males were the biggest threat to them. In many cities, as the word spread of a young man's murder, many colored people began to wonder where the heart of the nation was. On the covers and inside the Negro magazines, I saw the pictures of a child beating for hours, mutilated, shot, and being taken to a river and sunk with a heavy face tied to his neck with barbed wire to keep his nude body from rising to the surface. His murderers admitted to killing him a year later. The all-white jury supported this murder as justified to teach northern and southern black men to stay away from their women. Only one black stood up to their trial and pointed out the killer. It may have been the first time a black man had testified to the guilt of a white man in court and lived. He was his brother's keeper. If we as a people learn how to educate, respect, care for, and support each other, there will be less racism, bigotry, jealousy, greed, dishonesty, and murder. This mentality is learned and taught by the rich to keep the poor fighting each other to keep them below them. The people of the world have always been different colors, but the color of the rich was gold, and whoever controls the gold controls the world. We never be our brother's keeper, as we wear gold chains around our necks and gold rings on our fingers that come from the bloodline of the world. To be our brother's keeper, we have to stand up and support all people who have been wronged, especially by those elected to office and sworn to duty to protect us. Speak up. Speak out. If it is wrong, let the whole world know. Someone will stand with you. We can see and hear when another is being wrong. We should not stand back and let justice be thrown away every time a person of color life is taken. We know how the story of Cain ended. Now just think how much better the world would be if we were our brother's keeper. Please join or support the Brothers Keepers Alliance through the Obama Foundation. It has been an inspiration to me, and I'd like to thank the listening family.
Well, I thank Brother Alex for his message to the community. And at this point in time, we're going to take a station break, mess with the music, and when we come back, we're going to begin to discuss our theme today, what's going on in today's world. We have various people from around the world calling in, giving us their perspective from the bottom up on what's going on in today's world. Hopefully shortly, we hope to have Brother August Honor, followed by our brother Kamal Benjamin when we return back from MPH Radio. Here's music with a message. Loving you forever. We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. Let's get together, stay together, and let's get organized. That's the message for 2021 if we're going to move forward as a people. Right now, we're going to address our theme, what's going on in today's world. We'll be talking to people from around the world where they're going to give their perspectives on their interests or work and what they are doing as it relates to what's going on in today's world. Right now, we have with us Brother Honor August. We're going to talk to us a little bit about Palestine. So right now, we first would like to welcome Brother Honor to MPH Radio. Brother Honor, we'd like to welcome you to MPH Radio. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Brother Honor, one of the things before we ask you to speak to the theme, what is going on in today's world dealing with Palestine, you are such a magnificent writer and has done a lot of work, has created a lot of works. Can you just talk a little bit about
you
and some of your work and how can people get access to your work?
Well, I've written, so far, I've written three books that deal in general with different aspects of United States, the domestic system, electoral system, United States, relationship between United States and Latin America, and within that context, United States, Cuba, and Venezuela. Those are, you know, basically the thread running through my three books. And also, I'm a journalist. I write for many alternative websites around the world in English, Spanish, and many in French as well. And of course, in the last year or so, these articles or interviews have been concentrating more often than not on the issue of Venezuela, because here in Canada, we have a government that is completely compliant, a government that is completely tied to U.S. imperial intentions towards Latin America and Venezuela. And our work here is to expose this Canadian government, the Trudeau government, for what it really is, and try to move things forward in Canada, that we have a policy, a foreign policy, which is independent of the United States. And of course, in the last few days, the issue of Palestine has taken up all of my work, especially the social media. But of course, it's a pleasure to do this because the Palestinian cause is such an important cause for people around the world. And people who are interested, they can go to my website. It's www.arnoldaugust.com. Arnold August, like my name, all in lowercase, .com.
Okay, good. Brother August, looking at what's happening in Palestine today from the major media, you might look at it from a particular different point of view. We'd like for you to give us your analysis on what is going on in Palestine. The mic is yours.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. I'll deal with three points, which I think are important for your listeners, in fact, for everyone in the United States, as well as other countries. But allow me to say, like, where do I get my information from? I'm stuck in Montreal. I could not travel to Palestine, obviously. But my main basic information is from the ground, through websites such as The Gray Zone, and also Abby Martin does some terrific stuff with their contacts in Gaza and in Palestine. And thirdly, there's also Dan Cohn, who works with Min Press News, also providing us from on-the-spot report of what is happening there. And of course, there's the very informative electronic intifada, which comes directly from Palestine as well. These are my main sources. So if I give an opinion, it's not on the top of my hat. I give my opinion based on what I see and what the situation really is in Palestine. That having been said, I would say that I think to stress three things. That one, let us be clear that the ceasefire meant and means a clear victory for the Palestinian resistance against the United States and against Israel and its mentor, the United States of America. You know, Israel was the one who had to give in and agree to a ceasefire because the Hamas policy in defending Gaza and opposing Israel was really succeeding. So I think it's important that we recognize this as a victory. Now, of course, Israel tried to cover this up right after the ceasefire by carrying out more provocative activities in the Holy Mosque in Palestine, just to try to show, I guess, the people who are that they are still in charge, even though it's not the case. That's one thing. The second thing is, I think it's important we talk about, you know, resistance and victory and all that. One has to recognize and fully support unconditionally the Hamas-led resistance in Gaza, combined with their equivalent within Israel, who we cannot forget within Israel, the Palestinians, Revolutionary Palestinian, called the first general strike since 1936, which really made a big impact on the Middle East, and I think it contributed greatly to the fact that Israel had to capitulate and agree to a ceasefire. So, you know, some people may be squeezed, well, we don't want to support Hamas or their terrorists. Hamas, let us remind, listen, they were elected in 2006, you know, so they are the legal, as far as we're concerned, they are the legal formal of Gaza, and they have every right, you know, Palestinians have every right to defend themselves the way they think it is appropriate. And of course, the fact that Hamas, and this is some of the reports that I read lately from the ground in Gaza, had very important and has very important support from Iran, from the Islamic Republic of Iran, which I consider to be a revolutionary government that stands against U.S. domination, that stands in favor of a multipolar world. So there's no shame to it. It's open. Iran helped Hamas. And, of course, there's also similar actions going on in developing the resistance in Lebanon and within Israel as well. And even like Jordan, that was an amazing, the first time in decades, the Palestinians in Jordan actually went through the frontier separating Jordan from Israel and went into Israel, and the Israelis couldn't do anything. So that resistance, in my view, is really important. And I think that progressive people should not be pressured into saying, well, you know, we support the Gaza Strip population. We support Palestinian people. Well, not too sure about Hamas. Although Hamas is the one who's leading the resistance. And everything that I've seen, the people in Gaza are proud of Hamas. Hamas, every rocket they fire, it gives dignity to the people in Gaza, that they are able to defend themselves against the United States. Now, the third thing I would like to raise is, as a result of this victory, and as a result of the almost impossible task by, so like middle of the roaders, I would say, to try to downplay Hamas or even to criticize Hamas while at the same time supposedly supporting Palestine, the third issue that I like to raise with you and your audience today is that because of the victory, the United States and Israel and their allies, they have raised the false notion that there's a problem of anti-Semitism amongst the people who support Palestine. This is, you know, they're with no proof at all. I've investigated this quite carefully based on the other websites who went into it in detail. It's just fabricated. There is no issue of anti-Semitism. It is fabricated. Should we be surprised, Lee, that the United States fabricates a thing such as anti-Semitism? No. This is the same United States that fed us the weapons of mass destruction, the so-called chemical attack in Syria, going back further the pretext to attack Vietnam. I mean, it goes through their whole history. They're past masters in fabricating pretexts in order to justify their own policy. In this case, to justify their policy for their ongoing genocide against the people of Palestine. Now, you know, I know that some people are writing articles of, you know, we support Palestine, but we're not anti-Semitic. That's good. But I don't think we should get caught up in that narrative, what I would call a false narrative of anti-Semitism. It's just to draw away our energy, our resources, our concentration on the unabashed, unhesitating need to support the Palestinian resistance against Israel. And so I myself never get caught up in it. And I think people should also be wary about what the true nature of this anti-Semitism narrative is.
You know, Brother August, can you speak a little bit to this question of whether or not the people should participate in this divestment boycott campaign, and how would it assist
yes.
the struggle inside of Palestine? Give us your perspective on that particular phenomenon.
That's a very good point. Thank you for asking this to me. In fact, what was one of the main tactics that were used by the people around the world to defeat the apartheid state in South Africa? It was that. It was the BDS movement was a very important factor. And this should be applied even more forcibly now against Israel. And it's, you know, very sad, I guess. I mean, I'm not sad. I wasn't surprised. But someone like Bernie Sanders actually, he not only is against BDS, but recently he actually came up with a statement that we should not describe Israel as an apartheid state, as it sort of, as he says, it makes the situation too controversial. This is, I think, the real danger here is not Trump or Biden as such. We know where these guys stand, but I think it's the so-called left of the Democratic Party who, using different terminology, their main goal seems to be to position themselves in a favorable way as being the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and try to desperately present the Democratic Party as something that is different to the Republicans, as something that opposes war, that opposes Israeli Zionism. So I think that the BDS, we have to stick to our guns. Yes, BDS, and with a lot of emphasis on the sanctions. We need sanctions against Israel. Israel should be sanctioned by countries like the United States and Canada for, you know, what they're carrying on. I mean, let's be quite frank. The Israeli policy of apartheid is actually a policy of slow genocide being carried on from 1948 to date. There's no other word for it. It's a genocide. And if some people feel squeamy about using the word genocide, that's their part. But look at the facts. You know, we've seen that on television. You know, they're literally, you know, doing everything to mow down by guns, by air bombs, by airplane, mow down the Palestinian people to kill as many as possible. You know, let's be frank. The Zionists want to eliminate Palestinians from that whole area so they could have that complete control of that territory. But as one of the most miraculous, heroic events in world history in the last several decades, that the Palestinian people, for example, in Gaza, despite the attempt to wipe them off the map of the earth, has refused to be wiped away from the map of the earth. They keep on resisting, and this inspires people from all over the world. Look at the demonstrations that took place all over the world, including in some Arab countries. For example, Yemen, who itself is a victim of genocide, they demonstrated massively in favor of Palestine. And then important in Western Europe, in the United States, you have massive demonstrations in the United States as well as in Canada, so and other countries in Africa and Asia, etc. So we have to keep up this work, and it has to be concrete. Israel has to suffer under sanctions by the Western partners. There could be nothing less than harsh sanctions. Yes, divest, but sanctions is really the key thing. That is what will help the Palestinian people most, I believe.
And the last point for this segment, Brother Honor, is how should the people respond to their churches, to the businesses that they support, as relates to their support, as relates to the churches and the businesses who support the state of Israel? How should the people respond to their politicians, their churches, their businesses that they support? What would you say to them?
I would say, you know, they should be fed the true story. I mean, you know, people can send them the same websites that which I count on. I mentioned, you know, the Gray Zone, Abby Martin, Dan Cohn, Electric. You know, this is there's all in English. It might be in Arabic, but with English stuff. They have to be faced with the facts before we could say to the churches, the politicians, before saying anything else, look at this. You know, these website, alternative website, provide an alternative voice from the ground, from the people on the ground, what they think about the situation and what they were doing. You know, we have to try to turn this around so churches and politicians who may consider themselves to be progressive turn that around, that they change their mind and take a stand not only in support of Palestine, but also to recognize and support the Palestinian resistance, because after all, people are happy there's a ceasefire, supposedly. But this came about because of Palestinian armed resistance. One cannot abstract ourselves from that historical fact. And these people, you know, churches that you mentioned and other political entities, they have to be fed this information, whether they like it or not. And who knows, you know, the truth may come out, may sink into their head, and we may be able to change their mind.
And on that note, Brother August, we'd like to thank you for sharing your thoughts on today's program, MPH Radio, as relates to what's going on in today's world. We'd like to thank you again. How can they get in contact with you and your works?
Well, as I mentioned before, just check my website. Everything is there. It's www.arnoldaugust, one word, in lowercase, .com.
And on that note, we'd like to let the listening audience know that you're listening to MPH Radio. Today, we're speaking to the theme, what's going on in today's world. We just heard a perspective from our brother, Honor August, who lives in Canada, who has given us his perspective on not only what's going on in today's world, but he dealt with the crucial Palestinian issue. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick pause for the calls with some message with the music, and when we come back, we'll go to Washington, D.C. with Kamau Benjamin. He will let us know what's going on in today's world, and we invite you to call in as well by dialing 818-337-0016. We'll be right back. This is MPH Radio. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Impatriot Radio. Mama, you got me living on the front line. You got to live on the front line. What kind of man or woman would you be if you could not talk about what you see? And right there, we have a man on the line, Kamal Benjamin. He's going to talk about what he see as it relates to what's going on in today's world. Brother Kamal, welcome to MPH Radio. We welcome you. Welcome.
I'd like to thank you, Brother Lee, and all of your listeners for tuning into your program, which is very progressive and revolutionary every week, and giving information about what's happening in the world. As a member of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, who has been organizing since my entry into it in 1978, and our struggle to organize African people around the world. And as you may have known, we have been organizing African Liberation Day ever since, with the assistance of Brother Kwame Ture Stokely Carmichael, who has passed on, but we are still struggling against the oppressive nature of the USA and its apartheid oppressive policies against the people of Palestine and of Cuba. And there are other incidents also in Venezuela also. But my focus today will be on the oppressive nature of what's the brother Arnold August has stated about the nature of the U.S. policies in Palestine and supporting of the oppressive apartheid regime of Israel, which we can go back as far as 1945, when the USA, Britain, and France colluded with the refugees of the Israelis that were fleeing Germany at the time, and they decided to take over the plot of Palestine and make it an apartheid state of Israel. And it has been supporting that regime ever since, with the struggle, with the oppressive nature of the Palestinian people struggling against Israel in that land, that apartheid land, that colonized land of Palestine. And the brother Arnold August illustrated and talked about it vividly. But along with that, we have been organizing, and myself in particular, have been organizing against the oppressive nature of the United States and its allies against Cuba, which has also come under the oppressive, destructive nature of the United States for 60 years. And they go hand in hand. You know, Cuba has supported all of the progressive and struggling regimes of Palestine, Africa, Latin America, etc. And the U.S. has taken out its policies, as you may have known, of attacking Cuba for the last 60 years. Cuba has always been supportive of the people of Palestine. And other oppressive regimes and people around the world. Right now, I'm organizing also with the D.C. Metro Coalition in solidarity with the Cuban Revolution. And we have been organizing for the last 10 years with this particular organization. Before, it was No War on Cuba. But right now, the philanthropic organization of OFAM has released a groundbreaking 92-page report on the right to live without the blockade, the impact of U.S. sanctions on Cuban people and the women and their women's lives. report combines historical data with personal testimony from Cubans across the island to paint a stark picture of the everyday realities of cruel and humane blockade that is forced on the Cubans for over six decades. Focusing on the plight of women under the blockade, the report calls on President Biden to put an immediate end to the Cold War era policies and carve out a new path for the U.S.-Cuba relations. And this is, as I said, goes historically back to Israel's support of the apartheid regime of South Africa with the assistance, of course, of the United States before Cuba, for instance, allied with the people of Africa, Angola in particular, and fought against the apartheid regime of South Africa. And it wasn't for Cuba, Angola and South Africa would not have been liberated. Cuba lost something like 10,000 people in that struggle, which a lot of people should understand and know. And all these policies of the oppressive nature of apartheid, imperialism, neocolonialism, go hand in hand. They're related. As we focus, whether we focus on Cuba, Venezuela, the people of Palestine, they go hand in hand of the oppressive policies of this capitalist imperialist nation that we live under. And we're struggling to change its policies. We cannot think about and talk about liberating Palestine because the oppressive nature of the U.S. support for the apartheid regime of Israel go hand in hand with their oppressive attacks on Cuba for the last 60 years. Before Hugo Chavez passed, and even after, they were attacking Venezuela with the same colonization and imperialist policies. And it all comes in the nature of capitalism. Until we struggle to overthrow capitalism, none of these people will be free. So we ask you, the public, and everyone to support us and understand why these things are happening. Why do they call Israel, like why do they call that an apartheid state in Israel? I mean, they have been attacking Palestine, and this the last activities started in Palestine because they were trying to evict Palestinians from their own territory. Now, how ridiculous and how oppressive can that be? Israel taking over more Palestinian land. And they call Hamas a terrorist organization? I mean, we must understand why they have inherently and historically have done this because of the vicious imperialist policies of this capitalist state that we live under. So we must organize and come together, various people that are in support of trying to end this oppressive policy of the United States. And as I stated, we thank Lee for helping us bring these situations to light and give information about what's happening in the world. But right now, these are the policies that we are most supportive of, and we must understand why they are happening.
Hey, Brother Kamal, before we go to our next guest who is online now, I'll just ask you maybe speak to the final question. How do we make a connection with the U.S. policy and the we and the interests of the so-called American people. There seems to be a disconnect. Those who are in political power, they vote one way, and those of the people who may not have the political power, they see things a different way. How do we deal with that disconnection so we can make sure that any policies that reflect the so-called U.S. interests are the interests of the people and not by the politicians? Can you give us a general response to that, and then we'll go to our next caller.
We as a people, Africans in particular, must be organized. Must be organized. As Brother Kwame Ture Stokely Carmichael say, we must join an organization struggling to free and overcome the oppressive nature that our people historically have been under, whether they're Africans, whether they're Palestinians, Venezuelan. I mean, we can go around the world and we could focus on what the U.S. policies are against these countries and people, and we can understand why it has happened. You know, the nature, we can see it happening. I mean, as African people, we have struggled 400 years to liberate our people through the civil rights struggle, as we all know and have experienced. But it's still going on. It's not over. And our struggle isn't over. We say join an organization that's struggling for the liberation of the oppressive nature of your people, Africans, Palestinians, et cetera. I mean, they are all this struggle. They're connected. They're one. If you know who the enemy is, you must understand and know who the enemy is. Sometimes we fight and struggle against ourselves because we don't know who the enemy is. You know, there's only one historically. There's been only one that has aligned with other oppressive regimes around the world to control. You know, they control the policies because what? They want the raw materials. They want to they're extracted from these particular lands, or they want to control the policies so they can continue to reap the benefits materially from these territories. And they don't mind killing people. They don't mind oppressing people. You know, that's the vicious nature of these imperialist policies. They don't mind. So we must struggle and organize ourselves, join an organization that's struggling for the liberation and freedom of your people.
And on that note, we've been talking to Brother Kamal Benjamin. He's an organizer for the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. Solution to the people problem is to get organized. We'd like to thank him for getting his perspective on what's going on in the world today. That's coming out of Washington, D.C. We are discussing what's going on in the world today from different perspectives all over the world. And right now, what we're going to do, before we go to our brother Bamboshi, who's in Tulsa on a very important event, we're going to go to Philadelphia for a second. We're going to take our caller out of Philadelphia. Caller, your last four numbers, 9259. We're going to bring our brother and sister in from the city of Brother Love, 9252. Introduce yourself and welcome to Missing Pages of History. What's going on
yes.
in today's world?
Sister
Empress, how
you
Africa.
Doing? Yep,
good.
I'm good. And yourself?
Sister, we on the front line. They got us living on the front line. And what we want to do today is fill in some of our missing pages of history. From the bottom up, we like to talk to the people from around the world from their perspectives of how they see the world. And from your perspective, as the convener and originator of the Million Woman March and movement, what's going on today in today's world from your perspective, Sister Empress? Talk to us.
Well, I mean, if you are sort of a student of history and definitely one that is fighting for the liberation of our people, then you kind of know what's going on, because some of our historians, scholars, and freedom fighters, some of them told us what would be going on. I mean, as early as or back to 100 years ago, we talk about the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and certainly as we commemorate the 100-year bombing of our people in Tulsa. So we should know what's going on, at least to the degree where we've been able to observe the consistency of the system. And that has to also bring to question the consistency of us as a people in fighting. And of course, we have continued to do so. But I think at some point we're going to have to evaluate, have we advanced in our tactics, our strategies, and so forth in fighting this beast? Because they certainly upped their ante, and we've seen it with Corona. So we have to begin to, and I love what the brother that was one thing, Brother Kamal, I love what he was saying, in that we not only have to organize, but I also think we have to better strategize in that organizing, because we're doing a lot of organizing. You can see that with Black Lives Matter and other groups. They're organizing. Now, is it, you know, in the best interest to the advancement of our struggle and of justice and liberation? We have to evaluate that. But again, it appears very clearly to me that we've got to begin to look at some things in a different scope or in a different view, to the degree where we can begin to say, okay, here's some of the tactics or here's some of the methods that we are going to begin now to apply, either to a greater extent or to a lesser extent. So, Brother Africa, what's going on today is what's been going on. The destruction of our communities, of our families, the misdirection of our movement, of our struggle, and the lack of support for those who do be on these front lines. And I'm not talking about the masses. I'm talking about the people who study, who read the books, went to the lectures, and things like that. We've got to begin to really critically examine, to what degree are we really doing our parts? Those of us who get it, who have these conversations, as we conversate to one another, what mechanisms are we actually utilizing to reach the masses of the people? Because therein is really where I think some of this is going to be a bit different, or maybe a lot different. So with that said, and with that evaluation, what MWM and its universal movement is now in the process of doing is our We Charge Genocide 21 project. That is a combination of at least the past 100 years of some of the work, some of the mystery, mission, some of the history of what some of our ancestors did, are presently doing, some of those who are presently doing, but looking at starting with Mother Callie House in particular, from a historical perspective, surely there were others, but from a documented perspective, look at the ex-slave compensation work in the 1800s. So when people talk today about wanting a commission or a group to evaluate whether we should have reparations and blah, 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 sure, that has its place. But again, we have to look at what else should we, must we do in regard to obtaining reparatory justice, as Queen Mother Moore, as Malcolm X, and so many others taught us to do. So we're in the preparation of holding what we call pre-plebiscite sessions. We started a week or so ago around Malcolm X's Earth Day and held our virtual Reparatory Justice monthly conference. And it was wonderful because we got a chance to begin to advance with the work that we're doing, which is come September the 4th, we will assemble at the United Nations for our first People's Mass Assembly to charge genocide. Now, this is just a one of those first steps. This is about educating our people about what is human rights, what is Universal Declaration of Human Rights, etc., to make certain that our people understand, overstand what we're doing, why we're doing it, what this is. Not to just have them sign on to something, as people often do now, sign a petition, sign this. And they do it and still not have a clue as to what's really going on. Well, we're not going to do that. We're going to take the next year to make certain that information is disseminated in our communities nationwide. And with that, we're going to take first a letter of intent signature, meaning in December, we're asking for at least 400 representatives from a variety of groups, organizations, institutions, those that really have grasped the ideals of justice for our people, not for somebody else. It has to be about what our ancestors went through in this land. And that's our focus, 400 plus years. So we're asking for 400 plus delegates representing a wide range of groups and organizations, et cetera, businesses, institutions that get it and want to see real justice. We will deliver to the United Nations in December, which will mark the 70th year commemoration of Paul Robeson taking the petition to the United Nations. And, of course, William Patterson took it to France. This is not a petition. This is merely the first phase of a process, and it's called letter of intent. We will deliver 1 million signatures of those who agree that genocide has occurred and this government must be amply charged. We will deliver that in December, again, 400-plus delegates. Now, lastly, some will say, well, what's that going to do? We say, if our people did not do, they did, be it, you know, big, small, or whatever, but nevertheless we talk about it, then we wouldn't even have this conversation, meaning it will educate again. It will mobilize. It will organize for many other things. So do we have this pie-in-the-sky vision of the United Nations are going to free us or save us? Absolutely not. But we understand strategy. We understand utilizing leverage, and that's where we're at with that. So we invite anyone that wants to volunteer, be a partner. Again, September 4th is our first NAS assembly. The second one will be in Washington, D.C. next year, but the first one is this year to begin the process of charging the United States government with crimes against humanity, to begin to organize in our communities the testimonials, the documentation of not only police and governmental terrorism, we're talking about gentrification, environmental racism, COINTELPRO, mass incarceration is 21 points, which is one of the reasons why we call it We Charge Genocide 21, and because also we're now in the 21st century.
Quickly in closing, Empress, can you give the people your website and how they can support your work?
Absolutely. First of all, they can tune in every Saturday night. This is our 13th year. Actually, we're going to our 14th year now, straight. Independent. Our radio program, New Day Resurrection and Liberation, is on every Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's at blog, again, www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi. And you can also call in at 319-527-6189. Again, 319-527-6189. Our new website for the We Charge Genocide 21 is still under construction, but you can kind of get a gist of what's going on. It's not complete yet, but if you go to WCG21.com, that will be one of our new websites. Also, we're preparing now for the Million Woman March 24-year anniversary, which will really serve more as one of the organizing times for us to get ready for our big 25, which is next year. And lastly, I definitely want to thank our brothers from the AAPRP, GP, GC, because, you know, for years, Million Woman March has been in the forefront. And so, again, we've had a radio program for 13 years. You know, there are some groups and organizations that they kept their pledge, they kept their word in saying they would support what we do, the work that we do, and they've done it genuinely, not in some fake kind of manner. So we just want to let people know that there are a few who have stood, and we greatly appreciate that because, you know, this has proven and shown a lot, at least for those of us who are growing, coming into the struggle. We've been able to see the various things, both pro and con, as to, you know, what we must now do today for the future. So again, I thank our brother, I thank Brother Africa, and again, APRP, GC, and of course, all of you who are listening and supporting.
Thank you, Sister Empress. You've been listening to the convener and founder of the Man, Woman, March, and Movement. We've been speaking to her out of the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Now we're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Remember, on May 27, 1921, there was a race riot, a bomb was dropped on the city, and right now, understanding that there are some activities that are going to be taking place this weekend. We're fortunate to have with us Brother Bamboshi Shungo. He can come in right now and talk a little bit about what's going on in the area, and he's going to give us an update on what's going on in the world today from his perspective. First and foremost, we'd like to bring in Brother Bamboshi. Welcome to Missing Pages of History radio station. Welcome, Brother Bamboshi.
Thank you, brother, and thanks to your audience and your other guests. I just want to mention that our sister who just got off the air is a sister who has been consistently struggling for our people and have consistently came up with new ideas and new tactics on how we can win our revolution and our liberation. I think that we should be advantage of listening to what our sister said and seeing how we can implement this tactic currently and ensure that it is successful. And I'm saying that we should implement it because as a tactic, it will get us closer to our liberation. But it is a tactic. I think that Sister Empress will agree that when you look at this question of charging genocide, it is not new, that it has been done several times, and that it must this time be more than just a petition. And we agree totally with her on that. We think that when you look at the ways that this genocide is resolved, of how do we charge people for what they have done and ensure that it's never done again. Because genocide and reparation assumes that a people has been wronged. And if the people has been wronged, then the people who wronged them must pay for the wrong that they've done, the destruction that they have caused, the genocide that they've committed. But also, this payment must only be a part of a overall strategy that says, not only are you paying for this, but this is how we're going to ensure that you never do this again. So thanks, Sister Empress. Brother Lee says that I'm in Tulsa. Unfortunately, I'm on the way to Tulsa. I'm not in Tulsa yet. But there's a number of things happening in Tulsa today, and we will see once we get there exactly how it's going on. There is a Black Power Conference that is being organized by the New Black Panther Party that is actually started yesterday. There's a number of other events, and there's also been a threat from, I know if you remember the folks who attacked the Capitol, the Proud Boys, to completely disrupt all events in Tulsa and we will see how that plays out. In the meantime, this struggle of black people, black lives, for or against genocide, etc., continues all over the world. And I would like you to please look at what's happening in Colombia, because in Colombia, the people have massed against the government for the continuous police murder of millions of black and other non-white people in Colombia today, but also for the years and years of oppression that have been sponsored and paid for by the United States government. This is also playing out in several other places where the U.S. have decided to murder people by starving them to death, like in Venezuela, in Cuba. So again, we ask you to look at all what's happening in all of these places and look at the struggle, solidarity, and support that people in the United States are giving to our brothers and sisters in Cuba, in Venezuela, in Zimbabwe, in the Congo, in other countries. As you know, the Congo, along with the mass murders of Congolese people, are now facing a volcano eruption that has already killed a whole lot of people. They need your look. They need your assistance. So, Brother Africa, thank you for what you're doing. Unfortunately, we were supposed to get on our brother from Jamaica. I have not been able to get him on a two-way. And he's going to try to see if he can call in, but you should also try to see if you can get him. And again, thank you, my brother.
Brother Boshi, can you communicate with him when you finish that we will try to reach out to him by in about 5 minutes? So we're going to do the best we can before we get out of the airways to reach our brother in Jamaica. He has a report that he wants to share with the rest of the world what's going on in Jamaica. We're going to try to reach out to him before we close out. So if you can communicate the message with him, tell him to stand by his phone, we're going to do the best we can. We thank you for your report and your perspective on what's going on in today's world. Thank you, Brother Bamboshi. Right now, what we're going to do, we're going to go to Brother Alex. He's been listening to some of the various perspectives from various people from around the world on what's going on in today's world. And we would like to get Brother Alex's perspective on what's going on in today's world. Brother Alex, we're going to bring you back in when you talk to our listening audience. What's going on in today's world from your perspective?
Well, Mr. Lee and the listeners and the callers and the hosts, it's been another entertaining day for me. I've learned some information from people all over the world that have given me a better insight into a nation that I grew up in, a colonial nation, a nation that came to be. But it came to be on the backs of 90 million dead Indians, 75 million dead people of color, whether they were Arabs, Asians, South Americans, Africans. They were people of color. And 75 million or more have passed on. And that history has been absorbed into Americans' hidden history. So when I look at when offers are being censored, such as the 1619 Project and other projects, that they don't want us to know the truth. Tulsa happened. Wilmington happened. Many cities were burnt and razed, and people were killed and taken out of power because of the founding fathers, as we learned a few weeks ago, didn't really include us in their subject of freedom, the subject of voting, the subject of land ownerships and business to be on equal footing with them. So as people of color, we have to fight. We have to struggle. We have to downtrodden a little to be accepted or noticed in this society. But I say that after all the march and all the hate that's being tossed around, when and where do we find people that are no longer bystanders, but are ones to say, hey, this country is not going the way of any Christian nation. The atrocities committed by this country to other people is unbelievable. But yet and still, these same people of color, we serve every day in the police force, armed forces, and everything. And we hold our head high. We don't bow down. They hold their head high because they try to uphold a flag that says, we are equal. But the concept in the soldier that may serve beside him, the police officer that may ride in the same vehicle with him, do not see him equally. The bank officer that gives out a loan does not see you equally. When you go out to buy a house, the loan officer don't treat you fairly. There's so much wrong with America, and it's trying to be swept under the rug in the past. Is it relevant now? Oh, it don't matter. Let's forget about that. No reparations here. There's so much that we need to look at and decide and say, who do we put forth to speak for the people of color? We only going to get so much in any politician. But to sway that vote, we have to sway the conscience of the nation as it was swayed in the 60s. And yes, it's going to take more marching. It's going to take more demonstration. It's going to take more writing letters. It's going to take more movies being shown that the people of color are still being oppressed as they were 600 years ago. 400 in this country, 200 in South America extra. But 600 years that we have been oppressed and looked down upon and not given fair and equal rights. But we are just as great and as good as anyone. We're all human. We all come from the same DNA. There is no difference. We make the difference when we treat each other unfairly. So I say, what's going on in the world today? Yes, it's been going on in the world for thousands of years. But we have an opportunity and a chance to change that, to be better than what we were. Not make America a greater gain, but rebuild America on those false hopes that America first started and give the right hope of what America should be. And with that, I turn the mic back to you.
Thank you, Brother Alex. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break with music with a message. In the process of doing that, we're learning and expanding our understanding of this technology. We're going to try to see if we can reach out to our brother in Jamaica and bring him on. So, Brother Alex, if you don't hear me back in about 3 to 4 minutes, will you take over the mic, thank everyone, and do the closing for the program? We don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to give it a try. So right now, we're going to go to a segment with music with a message, and we'll be right back. This is MPH Radio, and our theme today is, what's going on in today's world?
right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
That's right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. We welcome you back to MPH Radio. We're discussing what's going on in today's world by getting perspectives from the bottom up from all over the world. We tried to reach out to our brother Imhotep in Jamaica. We was unable to do this, but we will continue to work on that possibility in terms of reaching out to our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean. But we have been able to reach Brother Abioni out of Detroit. He's a political organizer. He has an excellent radio program that comes on weekly. We're going to bring him in, and we'd like to get a Pan-African perspective of the world from Brother Abioni in terms of what's going on in today's world. Brother Abioni, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great since we got you, because you're the man with the master plan. We want you to tell our people what's going on in today's world. And first of all, introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your program. You have one of the better radio shows that I've ever heard. So talk a little bit briefly about who you are and how they can listen to your program.
My name is Abiomi Azikiwe, and I live in Detroit right now, but I'm an African and Pan-Africanist. And I have a radio program, Pan-African Journal. Worldwide radio broadcast. You can Google it. It's on numerous platforms, including Blog Talk Radio, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Listen Notes, TuneIn, and a number of others. Yeah, but in terms of what's happening right now, I was just thinking about this earlier. I was trying to put down my thoughts on paper because we just passed Africa Liberation Day on Tuesday. And, you know, Africa is facing so much challenge right now. We have the pandemic, which unfortunately we're not prepared for in terms of the response and the distribution of vaccines. There's this whole unequal distribution of medical resources worldwide, which didn't start with the pandemic. I mean, it's been going on. It's built into the world system of inequality. That's a major challenge to provide adequate health care to everyone on the continent, all African people around the world, and all, you know, people globally. That is a major necessity, and that's been brought to the fore over the last 15 months. And then, of course, the whole issue of militarism is important as well, because we have the U.S. Africa Command, which is expanding on the continent amid the insecurity that imperialism is built into the system. So I think that is another major challenge to eradicate the U.S. Pentagon and the French Foreign Service, Operation Barkhane, which is operating a lot in West Africa, and all the other NATO interests and intelligence operatives that need to be eliminated on the continent. Then we need sustainable economic development, and that can only be done through socialist planning and unification. So, you know, it's the same thing that Nkrumah and Sekou Touré and Patrice Lumumba and so many others talked about in the 1950s and 60s. And, you know, we just have to, you know, stay dedicated and committed, you know, to building the world that, you know, our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be willing to inherit.
Brother Abione, can you tell our people how they can hear your program and how they can get in touch with you? They may like to invite you to our community to speak on various issues and stuff.
Yeah, you could go to Blog Talk Radio. You can find the Pan-African Journal, Worldwide Radio Broadcast. And also it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, ListenNotes.com. Yeah, if you go to those formats, just put in my name or the Pan-African Journal, it'll come up. And we have about 1,000 programs archived. So, yeah, it's a lot to choose from.
And my brother, on behalf of Missing Pages of History, we'd like to thank you for making your contribution to today's program and sharing with the people on what's going on in today's world. We'd like to thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for the invitation to come on.
All right. Now, what we're going to do right now in closing, for all those who are participating, who are still on, we can come back to you. We'll give you 2 minutes to just give us some final thoughts for the day as we close out. We can go to Brother Bamboshi, 2 minutes. Any final thoughts you'd like to say to our listening audience? Brother Bamboshi.
Yes, my brother, again, thank you for your show. I think that it is great that you're able to put together all of these people who are informed and who can make that kind of contribution to the necessity and the shortage of honest, correct, and non-corrupt information in our community. So again, my brother, thank you very much.
And we thank you for your contribution to today's program and helping us to fill in some of our missing pages of history. Next, we'll go to Brother Kamal in Washington, D.C. Brother Kamal, you'll find the thoughts for today. Brother Kamal.
Again, I'd like to thank you, Brother Lee, for having this program, and it's very informational and informative for all of the people. And all, you know, we can say, as we continue to say, our people, African people in particular, must be organized to overcome the oppressive, exploitative nature of this capitalist regime that we are living under. You know, it was built and developed by how? 400 years of free labor. And we have yet to organize our people. We're coming together slowly, but all people, not only African people, but all people, we must be organized and understand the nature of the system that we are living under, that have been oppressing us for so long. And I can finalize my statement to you, Lee, and to the people and your listeners that we must be organized and we must join an organization that's struggling for the liberation of our people. And I thank you.
And we thank you as well, Brother Kamau, and all African people of Upshur Party GC for their contribution to today's program. And for those who are listening, like to find out more about that organization, we encourage you to visit our website at www.a-aprp.gc. Next, we have a listener who's been on for a while, and we're going to give that listener opportunity to say something if you'd like to. Some of his final thoughts or what he may have heard. If you'd like to do this, we'll go to caller 4298, Brother Moses. You're on MPH Radio. And the final thoughts, Brother Moses.
Hey, brother. How's it going with the people? As usually with the heartbeat of the people, you got your foot, you got your ear on the ground, and so hear the heartbeat of the people. It's coming through from Palestine. Definitely the freedom-loving people of the world are endeared to Palestine. Palestine is the bastion of reaction on the face of the earth is they're faced with, and they're certainly born on the front line. There's no question about that. And so, you know, all we can do is support the people, struggles around the world, and certainly we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people. I just leave it right there. Thank you.
And we thank you, Brother Moses, for being a supporter for MPH Radio and Missing Page of History. Next, we'll go to Sister Empress. Your final thoughts, Sister Empress.
Yes, greetings. Thank you, Brother Africa. And again, another wonderful program, wonderful dialogue and information. Again, we invite any of our people that are interested in supporting our initiatives. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call or text area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. We invite you again to support the We Charge Genocide 21 project. Also want to remind sisters, a call go out to you in particular as we get ready to commemorate 24 straight years of nonstop unapologetic movement with the Million Woman March and now its universal movement. So we invite sisters to send their papers in as we now hold our first Million Black Women Rising convention in October and introduce the National Black Women's Defense and Justice League. Again, if you want more information, you can call or text 267-636-3802. And lastly, Philadelphia is not only known as the city of brotherly love, as a result of 2.5 million black women assembling in Philadelphia, is also officially of sisterly affection.
Sister, say that point again. That's an excellent point. Say it again.
Okay. In 1997, 2.5 million black women and girls in particular came into Philadelphia physically. We are the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever in one location. We still remain as such. As a result, the city of Philadelphia did agree through their city council that the city would now be called the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection.
That is beautiful, sister. I didn't know that history. That's why we need y'all to come in and help Philly know Missing Pages. So let's move forward. We're going back to my co-host tonight for MPH Radio, Brother Alex. Give us your final thoughts. Talk to the people. Your final thoughts, Brother Alex.
Yes, and again, I'd like to thank all the hosts. They were wonderful. And as always, Mr. Lee, I'm glad to be part of all of this because every time I learn something. If you ever watch a show or go anywhere, read a book, you want to learn something. You want to remember something. You want to take something with you. And if you can't, it wasn't even worth investing your time in. So I've learned a lot today. I got my mind full, in other words. And one thing that I would like to put the treasure on other people's mind before we leave today is a word called freedom, which we also talk about on this show. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one will without hindrance or restraint. Freedom can be given and freedom can be taken away. But once one earns freedom in his own right, it can never be taken away. And that's something that even though we came here bound in chains, even though our ancestors begged and cried in the suffrage, that we now have the opportunity to stand up from their grave and cry out, freedom is earned. Freedom is owed. Freedom is mine. So I want everybody to understand that. Constitution talks about freedom. Bill of Rights talks about freedom. Declaration of Independence talks about freedom. But freedom is in the individual. Only laws can bind and hold. And I thank you.
And we thank you, Brother Alex, for your daily activities as it relates to billing and institutionalizing missing pages of history. To our audience today, to our supporters, to our friends, to our guests, we'd like to thank you for helping us to fill in some of our missing pages of history. We would like to remind you that this radio program can be heard every other week. We're a bi-weekly program that comes on every other Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. So share the word, spread the word. Also, we are in the process of recruiting and taking on membership. If you'd like to support and become a member of Missing Page of History and its radio, please email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. If you'd like to make a contribution or become a supporter for MPH Radio, let us know, and we will identify and send information to you. We will send information to you on how you become a supporter and a supportive member of this radio show and the organization. We need your help. We need your support. Remember, we can be no stronger than the people from the community. We need you. Come and join us. Help build us into an everlasting institution. So on that note, we can continue to go forward ever and backwards never. We still have all our activities on hold until further notice. We want to minimize, jeopardize any of our people as relates to what's going on with this coronavirus. We have not changed our policy right now until we are really a lot more secure in terms of this may be the best thing to do in terms of allowing people to go back to business as usual. So on that note, we'd like to again thank you for supporting MPH Radio. And until next time, for the next 15 minutes, we're going to play you some music with a message. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history.
Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's blame a mother where they come from. How we gonna save the nation with no support for education? Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah. Our souls were brought together so that we could love each other. Sister, we are here. We are here.
Band played. one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. So back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate.
just working with the scraps she was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama, pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. There's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.